I want you to just take a second and imagine looking at your annual AI coding bill.
Oh, yeah. That is usually a pretty painful experience for most people.
Right. Because if you're a serious developer and you're running Anthropic's Claude Max plan, you're probably dropping like around $1,200 a year.
And honestly, that baseline is essentially just the entry ticket.
Exactly. Once you factor in all those API overages for running really heavy, autonomous agentic loops, the costs just compound.
Yeah, you're paying these absolute premium prices. But the crazy part is, you still find yourself hitting rate limits right in the middle of a complex multi-file refactor.
Which is the worst because it just forces a complete halt to your momentum, right?
It really is. That infrastructure bottleneck is, well, it's a major point of friction across the whole industry right now.
Because developers have these incredibly powerful tools to move fast, but the pure economics of the server compute, they force you to artificially throttle your own workflow.
Right, you're second-guessing every prompt.
But I want you to imagine taking that exact same $1,200 bill and dropping it to under $60 a year.
Which just sounds absurd.
It does. And the kicker here is that you achieve this without abandoning the interface you already know. Like, you don't even change your daily coding environment.
Yeah, the math behind that kind of reduction sounds almost impossible on its face, to be honest.
Totally.
But the underlying mechanisms of, how these AI platforms communicate with each other, they've shifted dramatically in just the last few weeks.
Which brings us to our mission today. We are unpacking this really fascinating, highly detailed article that was published on May 2nd, 2026.
Yeah, the one by Wayne McDonald over at popularatools.ai.
That's the one. The piece is written specifically for developers and AI enthusiasts, and it breaks down how the newly released DeepSeek V4 model integrates just flawlessly into Claude code.
It's a game changer, truly.
So we've got the article, we have the latest benchmark data, we've got firsthand developer reports and all the technical setup guides.
And we're going to cover the back-end maneuver that makes all this possible, right?
Right. We'll go through the 5-minute setup process, take a really critical look at the performance bugs, and break down the multi-tier strategy developers are using to optimize their local environments. So, okay, let's unpack this.
Sounds good. So before we talk about how to actually do the setup, we really have to look at the architecture.
Yeah.
Because, swapping out the underlying model of a closed ecosystem like Claude Code,
It shouldn't be easy.
no, it shouldn't be easy at all. The only reason it works is due to a highly strategic back-end maneuver by DeepSeek.
Right, when they released V4 on April 24th, 2026.
Exactly. They didn't just release a model, they actually shipped a native compatibility layer.
Yeah, the article mentions the endpoint URL is literally api.deepseek.com/anthropic. I mean, that is a very deliberate move to intercept traffic meant for a competitor.
Oh, absolutely. It's structurally brilliant. Because Claude Code communicates using a very specific SDK, a software development kit.
Which formats all its requests and tool calls and streaming data in its own unique way.
Right. And normally, if you point that SDK at a completely different AI model, the whole system just crashes because it doesn't understand the formatting.
It's speaking a different language.
Exactly. But DeepSeek built an endpoint that perfectly mimics Anthropic's formatting. So the Claude Code software literally cannot tell that it isn't talking to Anthropic servers.
It's basically a digital sleight of hand. And because of that compatibility layer, developers can suddenly access a completely different pricing tier.
Which is where the numbers just get wild.
Let's look at those input token costs because this is really the core of the article. So Claude Opus runs $15 per million input tokens, right?
Yep, 15 bucks.
And DeepSeek V4 Flash runs 14 cents per million.
Wow. Yeah. That literally translates to roughly a 100x cost reduction for the exact same volume of working memory.
The article highlights some real developer usage to put that into perspective, which I loved. You have Antires, the creator of
Right, a
Redis.
legend.
Yeah, and he noted that he is spending just $1 an hour for really intense autonomous agentic usage.
That's practically nothing.
And then there's Tur24ter, who reported spending a mere $6.84 for an entire day of deep coding.
An entire day.
Yeah, and that included 412 complex tool calls across security challenges and Android analysis, under $7 for a volume of requests that would have easily cost over $100 on Claude.
Those figures really reflect a fundamental shift in how developers can treat compute power. When the cost is that low, you stop rationing your prompts.
You just let it run.
Exactly. You start letting the AI explore multiple architectural paths simultaneously.
This is essentially like ripping the engine out of an expensive luxury car, right? And dropping in this hyper-efficient, dirt-cheap engine, but you get to keep the luxury interior, the dashboard, the heated seats.
That's a great way to look at it.
But I do have to push back on this premise a little bit, because usually in tech, when something is 100x cheaper, you're sacrificing a massive chunk of functionality.
Yeah, there's always a trade-off.
Right. So are we losing all the advanced tool calling features that make Claude Code so useful in the first place?
Well, the data actually shows the core functionality remains entirely intact.
Really? All of it?
Pretty much. The thinking mode, structured JSON outputs, and the full tool choice API are perfectly parsed by DeepSeek's compatibility layer.
Okay, so what do you lose?
You do lose a few peripheral features, like image inputs won't process, and you lose support for specific MCPs.
The model context protocols.
Right, those bridges used to connect the AI to external live data sources.
But looking at standard CLI coding sessions, I mean, developers are rarely uploading JPEGs to their terminal during a Python refactor anyway, you know?
Exactly. And complex MCP routing is usually handled outside the pure code generation loop.
So the text-based agentic feature set is practically identical.
Yeah, we've established that the underlying math and feature parity hold up. But, you know, affordability only matters if the tool is accessible.
Right. If a developer has to spend 3 days writing custom middleware and rewriting their entire local environment, those cost savings are immediately eaten up by lost engineering hours.
Fortunately, this setup detailed in the guide bypasses all of that. It is shockingly fast.
The three-step process.
Yeah, it takes about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So step one, you just grab an API key from platform.deepseek.com.
And new accounts are currently getting $5 in free credits, right?
Yep. Which, given that 13-cent input cost, is enough to run heavy coding sessions for several days.
It allows a developer to validate the entire workflow without ever even attaching a credit card?
Which is huge. Then step two involves adding specific environment variables to your terminal profile, like your .bashirac.zshrdc, or your PowerShell profile.
Right, you define the Anthropic-based URL to point to the DeepSeek endpoint and plug in your new auth token.
Exactly. And finally, step three. You reload your shell and type /status inside Claude Code to verify the redirection.
And all of your existing local hooks, your custom skills, your slash commands, they just carry over seamlessly.
That seamlessness is definitely the main selling point. But the guide emphasizes a really crucial gotcha during this configuration.
Oh yeah, the model name thing.
Yes. This is honestly the single most important detail in the entire setup process. When you define the Anthropic model environment variable, you cannot simply write DeepSeek-v4-pro.
You have to append that specific suffix.
Right, bracket 1M bracket. It has to read DeepSeek-v4-pro bracket 1M bracket.
I saw that warning in the documentation. And I mean, forgetting those four characters seems like just a minor typo, but it apparently cripples the whole architecture.
It does, because it governs how the API allocates memory.
How so?
Well, DeepSeek v4-pro is a massive 1.6 trillion parameter model, and it's built to handle a 1 million token context window.
Okay.
But if you omit that bracket 1M bracket suffix, the endpoint defaults to a legacy limit of just 200,000 tokens.
Just to save on server-side allocation. Wow, so that simple typo literally costs you 800,000 tokens of working memory.
It's a massive hit.
To put that into perspective for everyone, 800,000 tokens is basically the difference between the AI reading your entire monorepo.
Yeah, understanding how your front-end components interact with your back-end database schemas.
Right, versus only being able to read a couple of isolated folders.
You're just leaving the primary advantage of the pro model on the table if you forget it.
Yeah.
A million tokens allows the AI to hold the entire architecture in its head simultaneously.
Which is obviously required for accurate project-wide refactoring.
Definitely.
But here's where it gets really interesting, right? Because modern AI coding isn't just a linear conversation with one massive model anymore.
Right. Claude Code spawns sub-agents all the time.
Exactly. It creates these little background helpers to go run a grep search across the code base or execute a test suite. So how does DeepSeek handle that kind of delegation?
What's fascinating here is how the setup allows for targeted routing. Because you really don't want to use a heavy 1.6 trillion parameter model to perform a simple file search.
It's overkill.
Complete overkill. So the environment variables let you define a Claude Code subagent model.
Oh, so you can point your complex architectural primary tasks to v4-pro.
Yep, and then route all the background file parsing to the incredibly cheap V4 Flash model.
That is so smart. So you're basically automating the delegation of compute.
Exactly.
It's like you hire the expensive senior architect for the system design, but then you delegate the menial task of finding every instance of a renamed variable to the intern.
That's a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
And it optimizes the cost and the speed simultaneously because the Flash model returns those simple queries much faster anyway.
Okay, so we've established that the setup is practically foolproof, it's frictionless, and it's cheap. But, you know, a frictionless workflow that writes terrible code is just a faster way to ruin your project.
Oh, absolutely. The code has to be good.
Right. So we need to look at the reality check here. Does DeepSeek V4 actually hold up against Claude Opus in practice?
Well, benchmarks are only a proxy for real-world utility, but the data here is highly indicative.
Yeah, looking at the SWB Bench verified benchmark, which is, you know, widely considered the gold standard for evaluating an AI's ability to resolve real-world complex GitHub pull requests.
The big one.
Exactly. DeepSeek V4 Pro scores 80.6%, and Claude Opus 4.6 scores 80.8%.
Yeah, a 0.2 percentage point difference at this scale of evaluation is just statistical noise.
Right, it's meaningless. The models are functionally equivalent on standard repository tasks.
They really are. And the article also covered that A-B test involving 50 real-world coding tasks.
Oh, yeah, where DeepSeek matched or exceeded Claude's performance 76% of the time.
Right. In 3 out of 4 scenarios, a developer literally could not tell they were using a backend that cost roughly 100 times less.
That is wild. But, you know, the performance data is strong, sure, but we definitely need to provide a sobering, critical analysis of the actual daily experience.
Because DeepSeek V4 does have real flaws.
It does. And developers need to understand those structural bugs before they integrate this into their daily workflow.
The most persistent issue reported is definitely the 400 bad request error.
Yeah, I noticed in the developer reports that people are hitting this error specifically during multi-turn thinking modes.
Right, the server suddenly just rejects the reasoning content.
And I know the common workaround mentioned is to use the /new command to flush the session and start fresh.
Yep, that's the fix.
But honestly, that introduces serious friction. You lose your immediate chat history, which just completely disrupts the flow of a complex back-and-forth debugging session.
It does, but that friction is just the reality of using a reverse-engineered API endpoint. You know.
How do you mean?
Well, Claude Code's SDK expects the server to format its internal thought process logs in a highly specific sequence.
Ah, okay.
And during long conversations, DeepSeek's output formatting occasionally drifts just enough to trigger a syntax validation failure on Claude's end.
So using /new clears that corrupted log.
Exactly. And while the AI can still read your project files perfectly fine, losing the conversational context is definitely a genuine pain point.
Another physical limitation they highlighted is the latency.
Yeah, the servers are in China.
Right. So for developers operating in the US or Europe, just the physics of global network routing add about 200 to 400 milliseconds of extra latency to every single request.
It creates this slight, almost perceptible hesitation.
Yeah. When you hit enter on a command, there is a noticeable beat before the text begins streaming.
It doesn't meaningfully impact the total time of a 5-minute agentic loop. But for a developer sitting in a fast-paced flow state, that half-second delay feels like a persistent speed bump.
Yeah, it can be annoying. There is also a distinct difference in prompt sensitivity.
Right. V4 is far more literal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Developer feedback describes V4 as being far more literal than Claude. Like, Claude has this remarkable ability to infer intent.
You can provide a slightly ambiguous or messy prompt, and Claude will generally interpret what you actually meant to build.
But DeepSeek requires explicit, highly structured instructions.
Which means developers have to be way more disciplined with their system prompts. But I'd say the most glaring flaw.
Oh, boy.
The issue that introduces actual risk into a production environment is the hallucination rate on unknown APIs.
The numbers on this from the benchmarks are honestly staggering.
They are not great.
On the AA Omniscience benchmark, which, you know, specifically tests a model's knowledge of obscure, brand new, or proprietary APIs, V4 Pro registered a 94% hallucination rate.
94%.
Yeah. When it does not know the answer, it almost universally fabricates one rather than just admitting defeat or uncertainty.
It will confidently invent a software library, write the syntax for it, and then try to execute it.
It sounds like V4 is that overly enthusiastic intern who refuses to say, I don't know, and will literally just invent a solution rather than ask for help.
That's exactly what it does. It generates calls to endpoints that absolutely do not exist in reality.
But doesn't that make it incredibly dangerous for enterprise developers?
Well, yeah. Why is the behavior so drastically different, though? Like, if Claude encounters a proprietary internal database it hasn't seen, it pauses and asks the developer for clarification.
Right, so why does DeepSeek just barrel forward into a hallucination?
It really comes down to how the models undergo their reinforcement learning, the RLHF. Anthropic heavily trains Claude for caution and safety.
So it's rewarded for identifying the boundaries of its own knowledge.
Exactly. Whereas DeepSeek's alignment currently heavily prioritizes task completion and helpfulness over caution.
Ah, so the model is statistically biased to provide a solution, even if it has to synthesize one from fragmented patterns in its training data.
Precisely.
That makes it a massive liability for enterprise developers working on mission-critical architecture. I mean, an invented API call running unchecked could break a production environment.
And this is exactly why Claude Opus remains the superior tool for domain-specific proprietary development and those safety-critical workflows.
You just can't risk it.
Right. But if we connect this to the broader picture, AI is a tool, a utility layer. It's not a replacement for an engineer's critical review.
You cannot blindly commit generated code. You always have to read the pull request.
Always.
So knowing that DeepSeek hallucinates on rare APIs, but dominates at massive, cheap, long context refactors of standard languages like Python or React, it really changes how you deploy it.
It does.
Which brings us to how developers are actually building a reliable daily workflow to navigate these exact strengths and weaknesses without losing their minds.
Right. The article details a multi-tier strategy that experienced developers are basically converging on right now.
And it allows them to achieve that 70 to 80% monthly cost savings while mitigating the hallucination risks.
Yeah, the strategy is broken down into three distinct tiers of usage.
Let's walk through the architecture of that strategy. So tier one utilizes DeepSeek Flash.
This is your everyday workhorse.
Right, it runs about 50 cents to a dollar a day for heavy use.
Developers deploy the Flash model for simple code generation, writing repetitive unit tests, and, you know, generating inline documentation.
Tasks where the necessary context is fully contained within a single file or function.
Exactly. Then you escalate to tier two, which relies on DeepSeek Pro.
And this tier will cost roughly $5 to $10 a week, right? Yeah.
You bring in the 1.6 trillion parameter Pro model for system architecture decisions, massive multi-file refactors, and really complex debugging scenarios.
Where the AI needs to track the logic across like five or six interacting scripts simultaneously.
Right. And finally, you have tier three, which reserves Claude Opus.
So you keep Anthropic's flagship model on standby, allocating maybe $20 to $30 a month for it.
Exactly. You only route requests to Opus for production critical code, highly novel problem solving, and interactions with those proprietary APIs.
Where you absolutely cannot risk a hallucinated endpoint.
It's basically an optimization of resources based on the specific risk profile of the task you're doing right then.
So what does this all mean for your workflow? Because, you know, reading about a three-tier strategy, it sounds like an administrative nightmare.
It sounds super clunky, yeah.
Juggling three models. Constantly editing environment variables and restarting your shell every time you transition from writing a test to querying an internal API, that would destroy your momentum.
It would. But if we connect this to the bigger picture of how modern development environments actually work, the execution is totally frictionless.
Oh, so.
While developers aren't constantly rewriting configuration files, they operate natively in split-screen or multi-tab terminals anyway.
Oh, right. They just keep dual terminal windows open.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You configure one terminal pane to use the DeepSeek variables, and you leave the adjacent pane running the native Claude Opus configuration.
That is brilliant.
Switching between a massive cheap refactor and a highly secure proprietary query takes literally the amount of time it takes to alt-tab to the next window.
So the operational overhead is virtually zero.
Yep. You do all the heavy, repetitive lifting in the DeepSeek pane, and then when you hit a roadblock or encounter a 400 error or need to touch a proprietary system,
you just shift focus to the Claude pane, execute the specific command, and shift back.
That's it.
The economic impact of simply tabbing to the left monitor instead of the right monitor is astronomical. Like an 8-hour autonomous agent run where the AI is iterating, testing, and fixing its own code continuously.
Yeah, that might cost $200 on Opus.
And that exact same 8-hour loop drops to roughly $6 on V4 Pro. You are saving $194 just by running the command in a different terminal pane.
DeepSeek V4's integration via this compatibility layer isn't a compromise for 80% of standard development tasks. It provides a massive economic edge.
it fundamentally alters how freely a developer can utilize AI.
Absolutely.
Now, we do need to highlight a specific timeline mentioned in the documentation.
Right, the promo.
Yeah. The incredibly low pricing we discussed for V4 Pro is part of a 75% launch promotional discount, and that promo window strictly ends on May 31st, 2026.
So once that window closes, the Pro tier will revert to its standard rate.
Which is still cheap, right?
Oh, yeah. The standard rate is still remarkably competitive. It'll be roughly 17x cheaper on input tokens compared to Claude Opus, rather than 100x.
Okay, still a massive savings.
But this current window offers the highest possible leverage to test the multi-tier setup. And it's worth noting the V4 flash pricing. That is permanent.
So whether you are a startup founder actively trying to stretch your runway, or, you know, just a solo developer who is tired of hitting a rate limit on a Saturday night, configuring these environment variables is a complete no-brainer to try.
The barrier to entry is essentially zero. It takes 5 minutes, and you'll know within your first session if the V4 architecture aligns with your specific coding style.
Definitely. But before we wrap up today's deep dive, there is a fascinating broader implication to all of this that I want to leave you with.
That's a big question.
Yeah. Anthropic has invested incredible capital and engineering resources into building the Claude Code interface. It is a beautiful, highly functional piece of terminal software.
It really is best in class.
But developers are increasingly installing it and using it as a hollow shell, basically a premium steering wheel, to route all the actual compute requests to a competitor's much cheaper servers.
Yeah, it's wild to think about.
As open source and alternative models reach parity with the proprietary giants, are companies like Anthropic unwittingly becoming free premium user interfaces for their own rivals?
It really highlights a massive paradigm shift in the industry.
Yeah.
You know, the value of the interface layer is becoming entirely decoupled from the value of the intelligence layer.
It forces you to rethink where the actual leverage lies in the AI ecosystem right now. That $1,200 annual bill we discussed at the start, it isn't a fixed law of physics.
Not anymore.
You don't need to pay luxury prices to get luxury performance. You just need to understand the architecture well enough to swap the engine. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the source material. Keep exploring, keep experimenting, and we will catch you next time.